live, and if it all goes to plan, we'll have some three all bangers in our future, huh? It's the Vocal Minority Podcast. Woo!
Woo!
Hi, Josh.
You can't have a three all banger every game,
yeah,
unless you concede three every game.
Yeah.
Raise your voice.
So we're halfway there, kids.
Woo. Yeah.
I mean, you know, exactly. Like this could happen.
Yeah.
Woo.
I've never been so excited for a mediocre season. This is going to be great.
We're mediocre. We hope.
Chant needs work.
It's not looking good.
No. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast. The podcast that has already lost all hope, as you can tell. I mean, we lost it several years ago, but still.
The search party for hope has given up. That's what it is.
It's reporting back. Yeah. It doesn't even want to go back out with flashlights. It's done. On this week's show, we do indeed look back at a terrible trip to the West Coast for TFC. And then turn our attentions around to a triumph with goals. Plural.
Goals.
Women's national team. I know.
Crazy.
Discuss the Atleti's ouster from the C-Cubed. Look ahead to Canada's final two matches in the She Believes Cup. Ooh, and more. And now to the panel. Having watched 1.5 soccer matches, possibly the most informed of all of us, please say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
I think you misunderstood what I said. I kind of very tiredly watched half a game and then very distractedly watched like a couple of little bits of another game.
Via osmosis, he's so prepared.
To say 1.5 games.
Stretching it. Having watched the entire TFC match, please welcome Mark Hinckley.
Oh, I cede my time to Duncan. He knows what's going on. I did watch it. I barely remember it. I also barely remember trying to... No, I think I successfully placed a single dollar of Canadian currency.
Ooh, TFC, it has begun.
On a TFC win, because they were $7.50 to win, which was...
I mean, which, how could I you mean, resist?
Look, I'm,
it
yeah,
sounds that's, like preposterous odds, but they knew what they were doing.
Oh, that's look, but the thing that I learned by halftime...
Go on.
...is that there clearly is a science to this shit, because I distinctly remember seeing on that little data screen thingy that they show at halftime... When you're trying to ignore the people talking, because it's Apple,
yeah.
The expected goals of 0.00. So clearly they knew, everybody knew what the fuck was up except this idiot who had a dollar. So good times.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Not even.
Well, as for me, I watched most of the first half of the TFC match, and then I was very tired. I went to bed because I had to get up at 5:30 the next morning. Therefore, also, while being at work, I missed the entire women's match, but did get a helpful goal update from a friend. Hi, Jeff. Waves at my laptop, which doesn't help anybody, but hello nonetheless. I am your host, Kristen Knowles. Let's get to this show. All right, what's been happening? Well, like I said, TFC, horrible time in Vancouver. After somewhat impressing us in their season opener, they went completely the other... Well, I shouldn't even say that. You know what? Because I didn't see the second half, and obviously Vancouver didn't have to do much in the second half, or anything really, because they were already up 3-0. Spoiler alert. But it did not look crisp, shall we say. They did not look particularly organized. Also very confused as to, I'm assuming still waiting for his ITC to clear. So I guess not that confused. So no Josh Sargent in this one. But what I will say is that, yes, Thomas Mueller, still a very good player. not really at all shocked by that. But the opening goal, the penalty, it was a soft one. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a TFC supporter. If you've listened to this show at all, you know I'm more than willing to throw anybody under the bus for poor play. And I will call out any soft penalty, including for our own team. And I've done it many times.
Yes.
I am more than happy to be like, we didn't deserve that. That was bad. But this was a penalty in which they sort of had to give it because, yes, but also, like, I'm not saying that Walker Zimmerman has looked amazing over two matches so far.
That's good.
He has not. He has not. But also, it was not the worst defender move I have ever seen in my life. Like, again, it was stupid, and a player of his intelligence and experience should know better. But also, it wasn't grievous. Do you know what I mean?
Honor,
like,
and list of honors.
Yeah. Anyway, it just.
You're giving him a lot more outs than I did.
Yeah, I know.
And that you know what?
That's, it was stupid.
That's the bias for Kristen right there, folks. If you're not sure, it's that she's got way more forgiveness. It's like, yeah, but he's new to the team. He's like, he's been in this fucking league for a decade.
Forever. Like, he knows better. No, he knows better.
Like
it
that
was a soft. It was a soft penalty. Come on, you can't tell me it wasn't.
Baby soft penalty, but
all right.
Like, what a weak ass bit of defending that led to it. Like, just for whatever, however you want to, like, you really want to distill the entire situation down. The penalty was soft, yes, but if you go back about those 2 seconds before the penalty was incurred, you'd wonder if the guy who was doing the marking, this was his fourth professional game. You know, or he was, when I say fourth professional game, I mean, like, he just came out of amateurs and this is the game four of his career. It was just such a weird lapse in fundamental judgment for somebody of his pedigree, like, at this point in his career. I was just shocked. I was absolutely gobsmacked at what had happened. And because at first I thought, oh, which TFC defender who hasn't figured it out is responsible for this, because I haven't quite recognized the space yet. And as soon as he did it, he turned around. I'm like, really? The new guy? Guy who's been an all-star?
I do feel five times, yeah. I do feel like, to his credit at least, he knew he'd fucked up. Like, his complaint, unhappy face, wasn't directed at the ref. It was the fuck.
And just goes to show you how biased Kristen actually is, because she is again apologizing on his behalf and giving him all the outs.
Former defender bias. I'm sorry.
Again, for the third time in the sentence, in this one point of the entire show, Kristen is just handing. Right. Get out of jail
Walker
free
Zimmerman's
passes.
Walker Zimmerman's shite. Is that what,
like,
you want me to say?
It's the worst game of Monopoly
completely ever. His fault.
Pretty much. Yes. Excellent. Glad we can all agree. that penalty, it was, as you say, soft, yes. But he gave the attacker, whoever it was, the opportunity to, oh, all right, well, here's my leg. You can walk into it and fall over and you'll get a penalty. And so he did, and yeah. You'd think there'd be a way to, he'd be experienced enough to avoid giving the attacker that opportunity, or, you know, go and get your money's worth for that penalty and kick the shit out of the guy, rather than just, my leg's here. Oh, he fell over it and didn't even hurt him. God damn. Soft. But yeah, probably a penalty, and, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And after Vancouver had scored one, it was nothing, never going to go any other way than it did.
True.
No, and I didn't see the second half, and I watched a little bit of shall we say, the highlights. But what we didn't see really at all was, you know, some of what we saw on in their opening match, which was some nice stuff in the attacking third. And like, maybe from what I watched, it looked like they came out in the second half sort of full of fire, and that was it. They managed 5 shots the whole match, 2 on goal. So that was good.
Woo.
So I, but like, it just like, again, cause you guys both watched more than I did. Was Mark, you especially, did you see any of what we saw in their opening match, or much of any of what we saw in their opening match?
I will. The one thing I will.
How was Shallowy?
Lacking depth. I don't. The first half was such a wash.
Yeah.
That it was hard to keep, like, at that. By the time it was 2-0, I was just like, are they ever going to get the ball into the other half, the other third? I feel like in the second half, strangely, when they're down 3-0 and they are, look, for a team that is down 3-0 and clearly has some kind of disconnect between the defense, the midfield, whatever, that mythical midfield, that that void, and the forwards, like, they didn't give up. This is the one thing I will say. They were still attacking in the 83rd minute as if they believed that they were not done.
Okay.
Fucking magical, honestly. And because of that, I can't completely crap on this team, because I want that. I love seeing that. I think I said it last week. I'm going to probably say it all season. If they can show that they are not dead, even when statistically, mathematically, and every other possible line of philosophy, they are done from this game. If they're going to keep playing until the final whistle goes, then I have hope. I have hope that things are getting better. Because again, this time last year, these games, they were giving up real quick.
Yeah, the heads just would have dropped and there would have been little to no.
So like, as far as individual performances, I unfortunately do not remember if any offensively were standouts. Feel free to shout out wherever. Well,
I said, that's why I was asking about Shallowy. I was curious if George Michael was still looking interested. Like, Etienne.
Getting the ball up to the part of the pitch where they can actually do stuff happens so infrequently, so it's hard to tell. It was hard for me to identify, are they having a bad game or are they getting zero service, which means they're, like, is it their fault or it's not their fault, effectively.
Right.
So, it because by that time it's 3-0 and it's the 72nd minute and they're on their third counterattack, I'm like, oh, they're still doing this. Okay. Like, I was just more amused that they were still playing.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. We talk about Luka Gavron because,
You know what, Kristen? Giving all those out to those defenders, you know, I've changed my mind. You've got to put. I am for Hamilton players as Kristen is for defenders.
That is an accurate analogy, and yes.
But anyway,
Hamilton born or Hamilton raised or defender, Mark and I are bound to defend them.
Please have a go at Luka Gavron, please.
Yeah, he didn't look good, did he?
No. Not really. No. I mean, he wasn't getting a lot of help, but he was not.
No.
When asked to do stuff, it was speculative.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, like Sean Johnson is a good
player of the match.
He did very well
for DC. Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah,
He's
I'm
like 18 shots.
have we heard of the Sean Johnson before?
He's an Irish guy. You've heard
Oh
of him. Come
yes.
on.
Oh yes, Sean.
Sean Johnson.
Yeah, he's the th third depth goalkeeper for the Irish national team.
There you go. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, Sean Johnson makes way too much money. We can get rid of him. Gavin will be just fine. And then we can use that money to shore up the rest of the team. And maybe not. It's early in the season, yeah,
Yeah,
obviously.
it
But
is, yeah.
yeah. I will say to your point that Sean Johnson was so good for so long that you forget how bad the defense was, because he bailed out Toronto. Like this, you could arguably say that Toronto should have conceded 1 to 2 goals more per match all
Oh,
season.
absolutely.
So
Once
with no
Sean
def
found his feet last season, especially because he started off a little rough, but once he was in game shape, oh no, he was the reason that they got to go on that draw run and everything. Not the whole reason, but he was a big reason. So yeah, oh no.
But I will say that Gavin is not really demonstrating that ability to save the day like that. Like, just where he's going to keep you in this match, come hell or high water. And they still might need another 2 to 3 defenders. I'm, just saying.
Well,
Maybe.
it's yeah, I as is often the case with TFC, we're waiting on players to come back from injury. Corbianu had knee surgery. That was
Shocked me.
out of nowhere, as far as I knew. Suddenly, I saw an Instagram post of him in a hospital bed, and I was like, pardon?
I was embarrassed how little I obviously know.
No, don't be, because it was barely freaking publicized. But it was, I don't know, it was surprising. It also seems as though it was minor knee surgery, as minor as knee surgery can be. Now again, like injury, when people are back, lists are always to be taken with a grain of salt, but he's currently, at least on FOTMOB, he's pegged to be back at the end of April. I mean,
Okay, that
like
feels like
that's still
a
two
long way.
months. It is, but it's knee surgery. Again, there's different types of knee surgery. That's a huge chunk of the season, especially for TFC being front loaded, home matches, World Cup, da 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 da. But anyways, I was just surprised to see that it wasn't, after the World Cup kind of thing. I was like, oh, okay, so I guess there's a chance. But
Yeah,
like,
it's
so
maybe
they
one of those
have.
things where it's just, they're not actually having to repair any bones or tendons. It's just, well,
Yeah.
let's cut him open a bit and stick a little mini Hoover in there and just scoop up some like little bits of, bone or whatever it might be that are kind of floating around there and causing problems. Maybe it's one of those. I
Duncan,
don't
if that's how that works, that's horrific and disgusting.
know.
I don't, the weirdest part is I kind of believe you and I don't want to know if how true it is, but it's plausible and it sounds horrific. I
So
feel
one of the
like
other, in terms of the injury list, other than Corbianu, Kerr's out, but Matheus Pereira is out with a groin injury. We're talking about the midfield, and he was supposed to be, is supposed to be someone who's going to help, solidify the midfield, and he hasn't played because he's hurt. And he's again not expected back until April. But speaking of Luka Gavrin, who's probably about to be asked to do a lot, unless Yarbrough
yeah,
wants,
bro.
yeah,
Yeah, bro.
bro, wants to step up and play a match or two, because Baby Dero is also injured and not expected back until April. So, like, those are your three keepers for TFC right now. Do we really want to start raiding TFC 2 for more keepers? I don't think so. Anyway, It's there again. It's not that looking at the injury list and being like,
"You don't
oh,
need
man.
More than two. As long as we got two, it's fine."
I think Raheem Edwards has been a good get. Two sub appearances, solid performances in both. From what I can tell, just looking at again, not great performances, but solid performances. I will take solid. I will take knowledgeable and solid. Maybe Raheem can talk to Walker and be like, dude, remember when you were good? Like, bring that back. Like, I don't want, you know what I don't want? This is what I'm afraid of. And I think somebody, one of you guys said it, or I saw someone else say it. I've probably seen more than one person say it. I do not want Walker Zimmerman to be Omar.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
When everyone was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be the next Drew Moore. It's like, well, maybe. Or he could be Omar Gonzalez. Absolutely. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
That's an option.
That is a very, very, really good.
I am terrified that is what could be happening here. And I do think Walker Zimmerman is still a good player, but so far he's trying really hard to prove me wrong. Anyway. So, hey, guess what? TFC signed Josh Sargent. Woo!
Yeah.
For so much money.
Yeah.
Again.
Did he get a big rousing supporter group welcome at the airport? Right? That you'd expect for a record signing DP kind of thing? Yeah.
I didn't watch the 7 million videos that TFC posted. There was a lot. But Seba and Dero were there, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, that's all I saw as well. So, ooh. Yeah. And that was a pretty sort of fucking bleak, low-energy kind of thing for a hype video. It's like, oh, okay. This is the most feeble happy birthday singing ever. I am not by any means an enthusiastic happy birthday singer, but Jesus. And Dero was kind of half-assedly giving it a bit of an effort. He probably would be at about my level, and Jerinko just seems to want absolutely nothing to do with it, and it all just kind of like fizzled out. And wow, okay. Oof, wow. And you decided that was one of the highlights that you wanted to put on your video. All right then. Oof.
There was a lot. Anyway, it's I guess at least in a weird way, I'm just relieved that it's like over. I'm like, okay, fine. He's a TFC player now. Okay, whatever. Like, let's just get him in, get him settled, see what he can do for all of this money. Which what I didn't know until I read the official release was that how much money they had to give St. Louis. I was like, I'm sorry.
What? Yeah.
That feels like bad business. Like,
well, you know,
it is MLS funny money.
Not from St. Louis, it isn't. I mean,
yeah, no kidding. St. Louis is like, sure, Jason, have a seat.
TFC, it's been like 2 months now where it's been very obvious that you're, you know, trying as hard as you can to get this guy away from Norwich. And okay. What's your plan when you do? You're going to get him away from Norwich so he can come play for us? No? Oh, okay. So what are you going to give us? You know, you're giving Norwich like 20 odd million dollars, whatever it is. But this fucking guy, I think he can give us like a few hundred thousand, can't you? Can't you? This is just the fake money. Come on, you can give us some of this. But yeah, that's just another. It's that whole system is, as we've mentioned many times, it's a preposterous idea. But you know, it's there, so St. Louis took advantage of it.
I can't figure out. And this is obviously going to be answered after a couple of games or after half a season or at the end of it. Why is this the guy?
Yeah.
I realize like when we had, like when we signed Jozy Altidore and we were sold that it was such a big deal. And when we signed Michael Bradley, and we were told it was a big deal. To be fair, history has taught us that it did end up being correct. Sure, fine. But I'm not as excited about signing a quote unquote premier American national team player.
I'm not remotely excited about
Not
him as
like
a player.
not even I one iota, which begs the question, why him here? I playing notwithstanding, the money weirds me out, and the fact that it's him, like that it's an American striker, like did we just overpay because Toronto's an MLS? That's kind of like the takeaway. He'll move tickets, maybe, probably not, but he'll move tickets when we play in the States. But I would love to see how many seasons tickets they moved upon announcing, you know,
Yeah, I'm guessing not many.
like that all of a sudden a whole bunch of, you know, soccer heads from Western New York all of a sudden go, well, shit, finally. Finally, I feel represented by Toronto. Like I just like from a marketing standpoint, like I you can justify, you know, Jovinko, you can justify Insigne, and you can justify almost all of the European based players that we've signed that were a designated player.
Missed him.
100%.
Wow.
You know what though? You know
Everyone
what?
loved Mister.
Honestly, like, sure, yeah, missed is completely laughable. I totally get that. But if you're like looking at, say, between pedigree and resume, like, he was impressive when he got here. Completely the opposite. But nothing about, oh, Josh Sargent, you mean the guy who was tearing it up at Norwich City? And we paid like 20 some odd million for him. I don't even know if that's the final number. Like, I hope that the money that they paid for him translates to the goals he's expected to score. Do I think that's possible? Not really. This team needs some help. No, I mean that lovingly because there's no midfield still.
But I mean, he's a goal scorer, Mark. I mean, just look at his record. I think I saw in the press release, it was like in 8 seasons over in Europe, he's got 72 goals in like 240 games. I mean, that works out to 9 goals a season, Mark.
But do I want,
Nine.
but how badly do I want a player who willingly benched his own ass because he heard that somebody back home was interested?
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean,
Yep.
I a little protected self-interest. Don't we want our strikers to be selfish? I don't know. How is that for
Is
spin?
he a defender,
Like,
Kristen? What the hell was that? Anyway, like, I'm.
Don't you know that most former journalists go into PR? No, I could never do it for more than like 5 seconds. I would like shoot myself. It'd be awful.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, long and the
Anyway.
short of it is, I'm hyper skeptical about this, because we could have just poached somebody in MLS who scores that much goals, given them the 30 to 50% raise. And at least we know we've got a known quantity who has done the business here for less money than Josh Sargent.
Least he's not an old
I
broken.
mean, someone like Jason Russell Rowe or something like that. It's one with a bit
Sure.
of a record in MLS, I
Oh,
think.
you know what the thing that killed me the other day was, where's Griffin Dorsey playing now for one of the good teams? And he had like a really nice assist or something. I don't know. I was just like, oh, I remember him. I remember
Yeah.
him. He was great. We talked about him a lot. That was
I
awesome.
mean, he was a fun name, and TFC just did nothing with him. And oh, he goes somewhere else. It seems like he's actually a useful player. Well then.
Oh, he's playing for Orlando.
Orlando.
Oh, it was oh, it was during the goal. It might have been during the Goal Fest versus Miami, when they were briefly ahead and beating Miami. And I was one of the few times I think I've ever cheered for Orlando. Sorry, Will. Because we always want Miami to lose. Anyway, so he's playing with Orlando now, and was playing with Houston before that, but now he's in Orlando. So congratulations, Griffin. Good luck with your career. Anyway, it don't know. I expect we'll see him this weekend. He's currently at the Raptors game with a bunch of TFC folk, including Josie Altidore.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, ooh. it's a little Raptors TFC love fest this evening. So I'm just saying, Josie's often in town. Doesn't he actually live here? Seems like he's always here. I think he has a house here or something.
Yeah, isn't he like broken up with Sloane Stephens as well? So you know, but I.
No way! Really?
Of course. Oh. I feel like I heard something about that.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, it's a whole bunch of extra time on his hands. He can be, you know.
Oh, they're getting a divorce. Oh, man. Yeah. This just happened. Yeah. Ending their marriage after 4 years. Oh. Oh, and People Magazine. Oh, well, if she announced it in People Magazine, it's totally done. Forget it. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's sad right there. God, they've been together for a long time. Anyway. Oh, it's tied down our marriage with peace, navigating, da-da-da. Thank you for your love and understanding. Oh, man, we'll see. Well, yep, Josie's going to be around a lot, people. Get ready for the Josie Altidore Love Fest.
Wow.
It'll be...
okay, Max, ready to go.
I was going to say, I'm not sure what just happened there.
Yeah. Ladies. That felt like the right thing to do. I'm just
anyway. So Josh Sargent, welcome to Toronto. Please don't be shit. Like I don't know what else to say. I really don't know what else to say. I'm hoping that some of this is just that fact that they've just signed like five new players in the last week, pretty much. And that there's a little bit of confusion and lack of chemistry with the team right now. You know, like that happens when you bolster your squad as the season is starting and nobody was in Spain having fun and bonding and getting to know one another. No, wait until you're back in the snow and the cold in Toronto and the season is starting and you're on the road. It's the perfect time to introduce new players. Nothing could possibly go wrong with that. All right. Let's turn to our attention to something much more pleasant, which is the women's national team versus Colombia in the She Believes Cup. 4-1? Four goals from Canada?
Is that allowed?
I didn't think it was, quite frankly, because damn. Mm. Four goals.
Mm-hmm.
Textbook header from Vanessa Gilles. To start things off, which is always delightful. Janine Sonis, eventually we'll stop doing this joke, or we might not.
I still don't know who she is. So
it's fun for us. Sydney Collins, that's great. And Nichelle Prince, yay. Mm.
I'm going to say that this was all about DB Pridham, you know. Yeah. Can't score. She turns up. Oh, they can score. She didn't score, but hey.
Her mere presence on the pitch. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. This is the stat that terrifies me, though, which I knew the goal drought was long. It's since last June.
Oof. That's wild. How many games have we played since last June?
I don't know. A handful, but still. Anyway, yeah. I saw none of this because, again, I was at work. But out of the parts of this match that you two fine gentlemen absorbed via osmosis or watched, whether intentionally or not, your thoughts?
Not much. Didn't really watch enough to really be able to get a full impression of anything. But, you know, hey, four goals. Woo, it's good. I've got nothing beyond that.
Damn. Okay.
I just took all of Mark's
like,
talking points.
Shit, it's really yeah, all on me, isn't it? God
yeah,
damn it.
I'm what Duncan said, back to you, Kristen. No,
Mark agrees with his esteemed colleague.
Yes. Oh, so agreed. So steamed. What was strange was that it didn't feel like Colombia really kind of got going, and it was just Canada messing with them a bit. I'm sure that if I was paying attention harder.
Did Colombia not know this is the She Believes Cup? I
Right,
mean,
right. I
come on.
know. I'm shocked that they don't believe. She believes, but Columbia doubts. Back to you. No, it like even when Canada was scoring, like the first goal was like elation, right? We've broken the duck. By the time they scored the third one, it's like, ah, good job. Like it was very training session-y celebrations. And that's not to diminish the goals or the accomplishments or the game itself, but it just like the energy felt like even Canada realized, oh, we've got this. Like, it's not even like taking your foot off the gas. It's just we are downhill. There's no reason to push it. So like they look good. Aside from like the penalty, which led to the one,
The one goal, yes.
which was sure, I was amused by the near brawl that took place. I forget who it was. Basically, Canadian defender got the ball off out of the wing and then kind of took down her person. I was gonna say her man. Took down her person. And then she got up and just two-handed. Or no, I think I've got it backwards. Either way, yes, sorry. Canadian player got the ball taken from him. And the Colombian player or got two-handed because it was kind of a shitty thing. And she grabbed her eye and immediately flopped down, and every angle showed that the hands went nowhere near above her shoulders. It
God.
was fucking farcical. And all I could think of is like, if she gets a red card for this, I would be perfectly at peace if she beat the living hell out of her on the pitch. Because it wasn't even like, it's not even like a glance or anything. It was not close. Like it was full units of measurement between where the eye was and where the contact was. Otherwise, that was kind of amusing, intense. But otherwise, yeah, can look fine. If this is the gear they need to be in for the next matches, then they did it correctly. They're gonna be nice and primed for the bigger matches that are to follow.
Indeed, indeed. Oh my God, I just realized I'm off tomorrow.
Hooray! For those of you who need
Sweet.
somebody to shovel your walkway, clean your troughs, at Case at Knowles on Twitter.
I can watch the game.
I'm so excited for you.
Never,
Beyond excited. I'm
I'm
even more
never off
excited
on
than regular
Wednesdays.
excited.
Never off on Wednesdays. Holy shit. Okay, sorry, I apologize, everyone.
That's how often
I have a
you
new
let off.
schedule and my brain is still adjusting to it, but I this is weird. Okay. All right. Well, now that we've celebrated, we're gonna bring the mood way back down. Actually, it's not that far down because we expected them to lose. Maybe not quite as badly. Or maybe we did. Maybe it was just me. It was probably just me. The Atleti got just walloped by Nashville in the away leg of the first round of the C cubed 5-0. They were never ever in that match. Everything I've seen from it was just oh so ugly. Wubens again, because of course, yeah, it just was not, it just wasn't good. And again, it's not surprising. Like, Campiel, anyway, it doesn't matter if you've got Atletico Madrid's money behind you, you're still a Campiel side. Nashville's a better team. All of those things, but it doesn't make it any easier to sort of watch as a fan of Campiel and see yet another team just get demolished by an MLS side, like, let alone anybody else. It's almost, it's more annoying than it's an MLS side. You know what I mean? I'm just like, God damn it. Like Tigres, that would be all right, man.
And this is what's just going to happen though with this new format and everything. Oh, pretty much like the CPL teams are guaranteed to get either an MLS team or a Mexican team, and both of whom are going to be, you know, obviously better teams and actually in their season opposed to a CPL team in their preseason. That's and I feel like previously, you know, I remember Hamilton used to get a game against a shitty team that you know, they had a chance against and often win, and then they play the Mexican team and lose. But yeah, this way it's just straight up every year. It's just going to be, you guys get MLS or Liga MX team. You know, this is going to happen every year.
This
tournament is done by May.
This is not a very good tournament. Like, it really isn't.
The way they changed it. Yeah. No,
I don't know what needs to take place for it to ever become a proper league again, but. Meaning, like, we have three to six group games, whatever. Like, I want all the teams to get experience, especially Campiel. But I also want, like, the Nicaraguan team and the two Costa Rican teams and the two Panamanian teams, like, and the one team that's from an island that most people couldn't point to on a map, even if they've been there. Like, I want to see those clubs because I also need them to get better too. And you can only, you really like was it iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel? Like you can only get better by getting, fortunately, kind of getting your ass whipped by better teams, but also being able to test your mettle against the teams that in theory are on your level. Like that, the previous CONCACAF trophy separation thing where, if you won it, you qualified for Champions Cup or whatever. I loved that tournament. That was awesome. We saw, like, Olympia. We beat Olympia. Like, that's a fucking team to be to be proud of. Like,
fucking cool.
Like, we saw the CD Lemeño, the Lemon Pigs. We saw, like,
I'm so happy I have that kit. It is a terrible kit, but I love so very much that I have it. And I'm still trying to lore behind it.
I'm still trying to chase down the Antigua team. They had the year before they had an absolute fucking banger of a kit, and I could never have known about it. But like, I want to see those. I want to see those teams. And getting one game in February where we get our ass slaughtered is not conducive of my time as a fan. It's not conducive of the club's time as a business proposition. It's not conducive. From a development point of view, it's just like, okay, look, to make this seem like we're legit, we're going to let all the shit teams get destroyed by the American and the Mexican teams, and like the one team that's really good in Central America because of coefficients. And once that sorts itself out, okay, now it's just the Campione's Cup all over again. Fine. But like, that's not good. Like, that's not, it's hard to get interested in a league where you know you're gonna start in February and be out by February.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't even get used to the idea we're in a tournament before we realize we're out. And I say we, Hamilton, but I also, as Ottawa, Vancouver, Calgary, Pacific, doesn't matter.
Like, remember, like,
couldn't bring yourself to imagine a world where. I was going to say where Winnipeg could qualify, but Winnipeg don't even exist anymore.
Right, so, that's how good they were.
But And it's not just because TFC is not in the tournament. I like watching CanPL teams, but it, like we talked about when the tournament format changed 2 years ago, how it already was going to change the interest in it and how it played out. It sucked that it finished in February in the cold, but at least the tournament was happening when every league in some form or another was playing and had an opportunity. But yeah, like I'll maybe watch a couple more matches, but I also maybe won't, because I don't care. I have so little interest in the teams that are left. If TFC were in it, I would watch because it was TFC, but I wouldn't watch anything else. Like I used to watch way more of the CCL, like, because it was interesting. It was interesting to watch the matchups. And sure, there's still some interesting matchups. Like it's not all not dross, but like, so the next round 16, which starts, you know, next week. Let's see, MLS. So we've got Monterrey versus Cruz Azul. If you're trying to avoid MLS teams. Oh, here's the matchup of the round though, everyone. Nashville versus Miami.
Ooh.
Wow. Whee!
San Diego's got Toluca. Whitecaps and Sounders. I mean, just because they hate each other, I guess, but I hate them both, so I don't care. Like, both of you can a meteorite hit your game. I don't know.
Come on, Chris. Ask for an earthquake. I think that's more plausible over there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Fair point.
They
fair
discovered
point.
A new fault line, so everything's possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I will see. Who am I cheering for? Ella Joel. I can't even say it right now. That's terrible.
Ella Jeunesse?
Juente?
Thank you, Duncan. Christ, oh, okay. In a handbasket. Because they're playing Zombie Chivas, so obviously I want Zombie Chivas to fall. Philadelphia's playing Club America. Oh, my God. I still love Club America's badge so much, though. It's so friendly and so clip art. I just love it to bits. I really do. I don't know what it is, because like, because it's not a great badge, but I just love it. It's so cute. It's so poor. San Diego's playing Toluca, as I mentioned. Galaxy's got Mount Pleasant, which makes me laugh every time I see it. I'm just like, wait, what? Where? Who?
It's next to Mount Delightful. Come on. The friendly range. Everyone knows this.
Anyway, so like there's not a lot of, I don't know, Philadelphia's playing Club America. Like, there's just not a lot of.
To be fair though, like even just looking at the list of 16.
Yeah.
There's two clubs that aren't Liga regulars. MX.
Yeah.
MLS.
Yeah.
And like I wouldn't watch a European Champions League if the final 16 teams were all La Liga and all Premier League. It's like, this sucks. I don't want this. I need a random Dutch,
yeah, we
team
see these fuckers play all the time. Let's get someone different. Yeah.
Like let's like I it's just there's is it it's almost there's too many there's definitely too many MLS clubs and there's definitely too many Liga MX clubs, but I don't know, it's this is just
where are Mount Pleasant actually from?
Are they the Caribbean Cup winners?
Sure, makes sense. Did you make
yes,
it?
Yes, okay. That's right.
I love the fact that it actually says Stush under their badge, like as part of their badge.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that before, but fun.
I hope they win.
Yeah, where I'm
I hereby propose
I'm definitely Mount Pleasant until they're out, and then it's like, yeah, well, fuck this
Mount Pleasant until they die.
Until they die. I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
We have a cemetery waiting for them just in
Yes,
case.
exactly. And that cemetery should be it's a, given itself a brand new logo, and it just says shh underneath it rather
Oh
than
my God.
stush.
That would be amazing.
Anywho.
Indeed, indeed. Anyway, so sorry, Ottawa. But what I did think, I appreciate some bravado, right? You know, some we don't care about this, even though we really do. I'm here for Mejia's, even though we just got our asses handed to us by Nashville over these, you know, we're still gonna win the league. And you know
Sure.
what? Why not? Why the fuck not? Like, you know what? Because KNPL and CC and C cubed are two very different things. And why shouldn't Ottawa think that they can win again this season? Why the fuck not? You know, just because they lost Sam Salter and Nate Ingham and
Yeah, it's
David
plausible.
Rodriguez, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway, I appreciate a coach with some confidence who's trying to bolster his team as well. Just like,
For
yeah,
sure.
you
For
know,
sure.
we could still, it's a good learning experience. We're gonna learn from it. We don't have to do it again for at least a year. That's awesome. I'm sure it was the underlying. At least that's out of the way now. Fuck. You know. Anyway. Go forth and remake your team. Good luck, Ottawa. We'll talk more about that later. Okay, let's move on to some World Cup stuff. World Cup, is that still
Hooray.
happening? Who fucking knows? I do love, and I didn't link any of the articles or any of the things that people have sent me over the last week before the absolute batshit unnecessary started by the US and Israel war on Iran. And yeah, they don't people come on now. But before all of that, even before that, even though now they're talking about, because you know, Iran's coming out and saying, we might not come. Really? Why would you fucking want to? Whether or not they move the matches for Iran that are taking place in LA, because they put everything there, which made sense. There's a huge population there, right? They're talking about moving that to Canada now. There was the whole thing with, you know, we talked about what's happening in Guadalajara, which may or may not have been blown out of proportion,
Let's
but.
just move all the games to Canada.
Well, so this is so like, yeah, people kept sending me, you know, speculation articles and, you know, quotes from this person, quotes from that person. Oh, stuff might actually go to Edmonton or Montreal. And I'm like,
No.
No. Oh, okay then. Sure. If
Nope.
you, but man, I, it's 100 days. It's literally today. Today is 100 days until the World Cup kicks off. Do like, I guess it probably will still happen, even though the world's on fucking fire. But man, each passing second, I get less and less enthused about this World Cup. Like, this is gonna be a 100-day slog unless something really changes soon. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing with myself. I don't know how to do this as a voyageur, as a fan of soccer. As just a person looking at the world, yes, I'm having a bit of an existential crisis here on the podcast, but when that's not
Sounds like
new.
a sh
But this is really, you guys,
No,
like,
it's you're not look, it's it for anybody who thinks that sport is not tied into politics, like here you go. Here's the most if the Olympics isn't enough, if you can't convince yourself the Olympics isn't political bullshit, here you go. You watch soccer, you watch the World Cup. One country who's hosting it shot rockets at another one who qualified. And if you think that that has no ramifications on the sport that you like, I don't know how you get oxygen with your head that far in the sand. I really don't. So it will be very, I don't know, like it's bad. I know that's just an easy blanket cowardly statement, but because I don't know how it's all going to turn out, it's probably going to be dirtier than the ticket bullshit. It's probably going to be dirtier than everything that's been leading up to this. It's going to make you feel even grosser. If you felt gross by everything that's been leading up to this, this is going to add to a new level of gross that the best soap in hottest shower with the best water pressure will not get rid of. And it sucks because people are going to go to this and people are going to think of this. And that's a terrible place. You would think that this thing would, you know, would be like, oh, we get to put aside our nonsense for a tournament. No, the nonsense is being provoked. So it's, I don't. That's it. I don't.
I know.
So, like, I understand how you feel, at least somewhat, if not mostly.
I want to be excited about this.
It's so hard to be excited about this. It's so hard. But also, it was so hard to be excited about this, like, a year ago.
I know. It's been so hard, like, almost the whole time. I hate it. I hate it. It makes me so sad and angry.
I look forward to, because, you know, when obviously, like, FIFA doesn't give a shit, but I look forward to when the game's sort of going on in the States and FIFA is just super aggressively saying, no, just no sort of, like, political statements or anything like that is allowed.
That's going to be awesome.
Oh, my God. All power to every single fan that smuggles something political into a statement, like, into a stadium. Like, you know, we've seen some impressive things done by people that get shit into stadiums in the face of bans like this in the past. And I don't know if old, like, old concert rules apply, just hand it to the nearest woman and have her stick it in her bra or in her panties. I mean, what? But that used to work.
Come on, I'm sure, you know, these proper ultras could, you know, figure out how to, like, hollow out a butt plug and get it in there themselves. Come on,
Duncan,
come on, people.
That shows a great deal of thought and consideration. I'm very proud of you. Anyway, we're gonna talk about this a whole lot more over the next 100 days. I'm so sorry. I'm not really that sorry. We got to talk our way through this because
I like the idea of a whole group of them all getting together and everyone just kind of like stuffs just like a little bit of a big tifo. Everyone can get about like 1 square foot of kind of cloth, sort of like wrapped up and what have you, and then they all take it in there. Then they all just meet in the toilet and surreptitiously sew all the bits together. Oh, we got a big flag! Hey, how did you get this in here? 200 asses. That's how.
200 asses.
Come on.
I'm gonna keep an eye out on the beast form, Dunk, to see if anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, no.
That's the name of my new supporters group, 200
asses. 200 asses. God.
Jesus, anyway, that's so good. That's what? So fucking good. That's the name of this episode. Go on.
I think I'm pretty much done with that whole thing.
All of the existential crises, dread, absolute, you know, oligarch fuckery, cash grabbing, being completely tone deaf to the entire planet, everything else that all of this is and has become more and more with each passing World Cup. The main reason this was in the show notes is that there's some in-game changes for the World Cup that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. I don't really care, but now I'm gonna try pretend like I care. This summer at the 2026 FIFA World Cup in Canada, Mexico, and the US, 5-second countdowns for throw-ins and goal kicks will be introduced as FIFA tries out a swath, a veritable swath, people, of measures to speed up matches because soccer is so slow and boring. Because, I don't know, the American football has 7 million time stoppages. Fuck off. The 8-second rule forcing goalkeepers to release the ball or be punished by conceding a corner. That will be also brought in. I actually am very fond of that one, but
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, I mean, all of these things are good ideas because
time wasting.
Yeah. But it's preposterous really to think that they're going to be able to enforce this 5 seconds. You know, you just need to get, you know, it does some kind of like throw in and somebody's ready to do a big long throw. Just have a couple of players kind of jostling with somebody in the box. The referee will go in there and try and sort it out and tell everyone to stop jostling and this and this and this and that. And that's going to be 30 seconds to a minute right there. It's going to be very easy to get past this. Would be my take on it. It's good idea, but good luck. You're not going to get this done.
But also, does this mean that we're not going to have the glorious adding on of all the time wasting at the end? That is still my favorite thing. It made me so happy. I was like, 12 minutes of added time. Yes.
But you've got another favorite thing coming up, though, Kristen. I'm just reading the article now. And, apparently, the referee would whistle, signal, and then start a 5-second countdown on their hand. The referee's going to be the clock.
Yes.
Magical. I'm excited about it, that part of it now.
And then also being introduced is a 10-second limit on substitutions. The player coming off would still have to leave the pitch, but the team making the change would be forced to play a man down for at least 60 seconds before a replacement can come on. Oh, no. Let's see what's happening with players. Oh, they have to leave the field of play for at least a minute if they get injured and require treatment.
I like the idea for the substitution ones, but that's just going to lead to anyone who's getting substituted. They're just going to pretend to be injured a little bit.
And,
I'm trying to get off as fast as I can, but I can't run.
I'm so hurt.
Oh no, I can't run. I'm just going to have to fall down here. And is this taking a minute? Oh, that's a shame. Again, easy to get around.
It'll be that part will be entertaining at least. So, that's right. That's the CAMPL daylight offside. Never mind. Somehow that got brought up in this article again. But VAR will also be the expansion of VAR at the World Cup has also been confirmed. VAR will be used to check awarded corner kicks so long as it can be done quickly.
Yes.
VAR will also be expanded for second yellow card checks, which hasn't previously been the case, as well as checking if the wrong player was booked in a case of mistaken identity.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Just the whole thing about the corner kicks.
I mean,
even nowadays, you know, anytime the ball goes out, you know, players will just automatically. That should be corner. No, that was a goal kick. It came off him, man. There's whole protesting. And now that's just going to be everyone just getting in the ref's face, doing the fucking VAR signal every single time.
Every single time.
Again, it's a nice idea, but this isn't going to work.
No.
Come on. The shithousey people of this game have way too developed to let this sort of thing stop them.
I want to know if they're, I'm being mostly facetious, but not entirely, because I just presume that somewhere there is a school, much like the Stella Adler School for Acting. Because that she was method at, right? She was very method. So surely somewhere there is a school of shithousery for footballers where they teach the dark arts? There must be, or is it just handed down? Is it just handed down through the generations? They pull you aside when you're 6 years old and start teaching you which limb to clutch depending on who has breathed on you wrong? Like, I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I look forward to, it's been 10 years from now, the Richard Lorelei Academy opening up somewhere in Toronto. I'm sure TFC can find some space for him up at the BMOG, yes. Yeah, put down Zoom. They can, putting off one of the fields with the Richard Lorelei Academy. This is important.
All the Canadian Academy, all the U20s will just be up there all the time.
Exactly.
It'll be like in the Mighty Ducks when Emilio Estevez was trying to teach them how to game the system and get fouls, fall down, look injured, act indignant. Like that's what it is, basically. That's the whole thing. It's just how convincing you can be. Oh no. Anyway, let's move on from this. The World Cup is making me crazy. Okay. Little Campiel stuff. The Wanderers have a new player. And the Halifax Wanderers have signed English forward from Crystal Palace.
Oh.
Indeed.
Oh my. Who?
Victor Akinwale. I do know who he is. At least I remember reading that and being like, wait a second, I've watched him play.
You've heard of him? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. No. I know who I don't know like a ton about him, but I do know who he is. Yeah. So this is from a youth player standpoint, from a young guy who's scored goals at a lower level, but again, Premier League to Campiel. I feel like the skills translate. Doesn't look like maybe he was going to get time with the first team, perhaps. They've got him for this year with options for 2027, 2028. He's 21. Had scored lots of goals as a youth player. Hasn't been as successful as he's gotten older, but I think, again, I feel like this is something that makes sense level wise. I've seen him play a few times. He looks decent. Like, again, he's not someone that I can recall exact matches, but I did recognize the name without having to Google him. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, I've watched this kid. Welcome to the Campiel, Victor.
I kind of hope he's a massive coup for Halifax.
Like, yeah, right.
Young kid, plenty of upside. Need some first team experience. Closest club to England.
Exactly.
3 flights daily, Halifax to London. Everyone knows this.
This is just science now. I hope it does well for both. I hope he does well so he can go back to his home club. Like that's at this age, you kind of honestly, if he's looking to reignite, find his boots again and get back into some good form, that's not a bad thing. And if he can help Halifax along the way, even better. Even better. Mm-hmm. Now the home openers, Campiel doesn't kick off for like 5 weeks, but an orgy of excitement, the Campiel has posted an article just giving you just some highlights just to get you wet your appetite for the home openers, for the first matches for this season. So I'm just gonna remind you of all the weird things that are happening in the first weekend. No, not really. Home openers, Hamilton, Ottawa, shocking nobody. in Hamilton at Hamilton Stadium. That will never not make me laugh. Vancouver, the Seagulls, and Halifax with their new striker at Willoughby Stadium. It's always been called
Willoughby.
Yeah.
Mm.
I know. Was it? Did they not play somewhere else? Was it always Willoughby Stadium and I just ignored it?
It was always Willoughby.
Damn it. I'm so sad now.
It's okay. To be fair, Langley is, could be.
I know. I know, but I just, Willoughby. I love it. Damn it. Anyway.
It sounds like a cute community ground.
It really does.
Even if it's just made up of four like, temporary stands.
It's got like, it's got like a chip stand at one end, and then there's like a beer stand at the other end, and then someone's mom is like taking tickets, or probably their grandmother taking tickets. You know, someone's uncle is wave, you know, has like a little thing that's strapped to him with flags and stuff that he's selling for a ridiculous price. You know, that's what it feels like to me. I love it.
Man, I hope your tapestry that you've just is half true. Because if it is, then we are doing ourselves a disservice by not going once. It probably won't be anything like that, though.
No, probably not. But Willoughby Stadium. I'm so glad I know this now. Let's see. The next day, Aquaman versus the Pony Boys at Starlight Stadium for now. Pacific have just one win in their last 13 matches against Calgary. Just as a note. But they have a perfect record in home openers at Starlight Stadium.
Something's going to go.
While Calgary have stunningly never won a match in April. Ooh.
That's a stat. And a half.
Oof. That's interesting, actually. Uh-huh. They've never won a match in April.
But they've won a match in February, which is really particularly amazing.
That's so, huh?
Because they beat, didn't they beat Pumas? And
yeah, they did. So interesting. Like
Vancouver, and then they went down and got beat. So,
huh? I love this. I love this. I'm actually glad that we looked at this. The next weekend, what are we calling them? York Six? York Six versus Halifax and their new striker again at York Lions Stadium. In a rematch of one of the wildest games in CanPL playoff history. What? Oh, right. They did actually. That was a pretty wild game. The lightning delays and so on and so forth. So, yes, the big rematch. Dun, dun, dun. And then Calgary hosts the Atleti at Atco Field, one of the two most boring named stadiums in the CanPL. Oh, that's right. So this will be the first time, of course it's the first time, that Nathan Ingham and Amar Didic will be facing Ottawa since joining Calgary. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. Oh, for Ottawa is the second of three straight home openers in the league's first three weekends in which they are the away team. There you go. Halifax finally gets a home match versus the Aquamen the following weekend at the Wanderers Grounds. Long-awaited return to soccer at the Wanderers Grounds comes on April 18th. Long-awaited. Fanny Sartini! Woohoo! Marco Carducci's there. Keep forgetting that. Anyway, that should be fun. Supra, not playing at Stade Boreal. No, not yet. They are playing at Sepsum Stadium in Montreal. That is what I'm calling it because that's the letters. And this will be a day that will be a celebration for the sport in Quebec. Just so you know. But after the whistle's blown, Supra will be locked in their main mission, which is securing a historic first home win. Yes, I'm reading word for word from this because dun, dun, dun. Letty, meanwhile, would be looking to claim the first edition. The first edition. Dear gods, who wrote this? Of what is sure to be a heated rivalry. Wrong sport. With their new neighbors. And then finally, Ottawa gets a home opener last weekend in April against the Seagulls at TD Place, which is the most boring named stadium in all of Campiel. Echo Field at least has field in it. TD Place. It could be anything. But yeah, they were the first team in league history to go unbeaten at home in a calendar year, though. So that's and the Seagulls, you know, those known world beaters, should be fine. The Seagulls will provide a tough test. Whatever. That was the V Cup. That doesn't count. That's where their chant. That's where they shine. That's where they're Eagles. That's when the Seagulls become Eagles. I'm so sorry. I will try to take that back. So there you go. There's a quick little
leaving it in.
Yes, you should. That's Kristen Reed's press thingies off the Campiel website. Fun, or something. Before we move on to what's coming up, one of the things that we have talked about a lot over the last not even 2 weeks is the fact that TFC need defensive help. Dear gods, they need defensive help. Tom Bogere, our favorite roving reporter via the Twitters, put up one of his patented breaking tweets earlier today. Breaking, Toronto FC dun, 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 is finalizing a deal to sign Chile International. I'm just going to say Chilean because that doesn't read correct. What kind of journalist are you, Tom? Chilean International center back Benjamin Kusevic from Fortaleza, per sources. Loan with purchase option, I'm told. Kusevic, 29, has 14 caps for Chile. Regular in Brazil's top flight, formerly with Palmeiras, too. A key signing, Tom Bogere says. And that's it. I haven't seen more about this anywhere. I did poke around a little bit and checked the TFC website and Instagram feed. But again, they're all busy at the Raptors game right now. So, you know.
No charges there. So.
No, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. Anyway.
Theoretically, a good idea, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, why not? I've read worse things. I don't know.
It's kind of like at this point when you're looking for, say, like a clothes peg, like something you'd have like in a box, right? You grab a bunch out. You just hope that the three that you grab work. You know, they'll keep their springiness. They'll hold the chip bag closed. You know, like. Whatever, elastics. You know, the elastic will keep the egg carton closed because it's got that wonky little tab that just doesn't close properly. You just want the fucking thing you reach in for to work. At this point, I feel like we're just reaching in for players and hoping that the ones we pull out work. Josh, looking at you, Josh. Very expensive clothes peg. You're a very expensive clothes peg. You better keep the chips closed and fresh.
Oh, no. Let's see here. He's played for four clubs, Fortaleza the last two seasons. So Universidad Católica, Palmeiras, and Coritiba. And then 14 appearances over 8 years. Not, it was the last time he made his full international debut in 2018. That doesn't help me any. Again, doesn't look terrible. Doesn't score any goals, and that's fine. He's a center back. I don't need him to score goals. I need him to stop them. Okay, here we go. National team appearances. Okay, so he's been growing with the national team. 7 appearances. I didn't play at all last year for them. That's interesting. He had 7 appearances in 2024, but none last year. I wonder why. But I don't see anything here that looks horrifying. Like, He plays a fair bit. Looks like he's, you know, decent number of appearances in his last few years. I don't know. We'll see, I guess, if it happens. I think I'm just excited at the thought of there being another center back next to Zimmerman. I don't know.
I mean, that would probably help Zimmerman, you know.
You know.
Perhaps been a bit unfair to him, given that, you know, it's a very kind of haphazard defense that has been constructed around him so far.
Yes. He doesn't have a lot of assistance currently. And like, who's it supposed to be? Is it, well, I feel like Gomis was probably the intended pairing.
Which is underwhelming.
Is also underwhelming, yes, absolutely. Yes. But, you know, also injured and not expected back until the end of the month. Anyway, we'll see. Probably tomorrow it'll get announced or Thursday. We'll talk about it next week. I was like, ooh, another new player and the season's just begun. You know, again, I appreciate that they are signing new players. I am endlessly concerned at the last minute nature of team building that Toronto FC seems to embrace almost every season in recent years. Can you just imbue this sense of urgency just like a few weeks earlier? Just back it up just a little bit. You don't have playoffs to worry about, so you haven't been concerned with that. So just move all of this back a little bit. Maddening. Anyway, let's move on to what's coming up. She Believes Cup will be over by this Saturday because that's just how this works. Women's national team everyone's got two matches left. So Canada plays the Americans tomorrow, day after recording, at 6:45 p.m. And then they play Argentina on Saturday at 12:30. U.S. beat Argentina in their opening match, although not by as much of a margin as Canada beat Colombia. So currently Canada holds first place in the standings of the She Believes Cup. That's right. Canada does.
Yeah.
That won't last for long. However, unless, what if they don't lose? What if they if they draw? They can hold on to first place. Wouldn't that be fun? It won't happen, but wouldn't that be delightful if they could win the She Believes Cup? That would be fun.
Oh, wow. That would be, yeah. That'd make 2026 the greatest year in world history.
Oh, good Lord, no. But it would be fun. It would be fun. The Canadian women rarely beat the American women. So, you know.
It would make me believe.
Aw.
For once.
Just this in one this, time.
Just in this cup.
in this terrible cup. So the game will be, you know, available in all the usual places. The game against the Americans is going to be, probably terrible. They're better. I think they brought a more seasoned team with them. They've won 13 of their 15 matches since the start of 2025, 12 clean sheets. Again, just generally a better team. They also have home crowds, all of those good things. But again, I wasn't expecting Canada to put four past Colombia, so that'll give them at least, sense of confidence, some positivity, the realization that, right, we actually can score goals. Good job, us. There's something to be said in that, you know, because if you come in, you know, if they hadn't scored, if they'd only scored once, say against Colombia, if they hadn't scored multiple goals from multiple players, you know, you go in still feeling like that you're, you know, you're cursed or you're bitten a bit and you can't really find the back of the net too much. And, you know, going against high powered offense, like the Americans, you just assume, that you're going to lose. Now, they did lose the last time they played them, which was last July. Americans won 3-0. So I assume they're going to win. And by that, they, I mean the Americans. I don't, and this isn't a knock against the Canadians, just like I said, Americans are better, are more gelled, and have had a more cohesive last year of play. Canadian women's national team has been much more chaotic. And the personnel has been a lot more in and out as well. But I'm hopeful that it will not be a complete rout, and that Canada gets at least a goal. Gentlemen, your thoughts.
I mean, that's nice that you're hopeful, but, you know, probably not.
I'm always hopeful, Duncan, or almost always.
Mm-hmm. You got to think the States are going to take it a bit more seriously than Colombia does. And, you know, yeah, it's not going to be good.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're not super wrong with that.
No.
I mean, at this point, Colombia is just happy to be there. Not because I genuinely care about winning the tournament or not, but just keep it close. Like, if you're going to go down, keep it to within two. You know?
Well, that's why, like, in my head, I have 3-1 U.S. Like, that's the score that immediately leapt to my brain, was that, you know, Canada will get one somewhere along the line, but it'll obviously be the Americans' match, right?
Yeah. And I do get worried that Canada will resist for a long time, like 60, 65 minutes, something like that.
Going forward?
And then, no, but like for this game, and then once that floodgate gets breached.
Oh, I see what you're over. Saying.
It's just a matter of now how long can you resist getting, you know, having gold shipped past you. I think that's kind of where my head is at as far as, you know, optimism. Just resist as long as you can, try to keep it close. If you could poach a goal, that makes me laugh. So do that.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan? Yeah, I guess you already gave your thoughts. Okay.
Yeah, it's not gonna go well.
All right. Official goal predictions for this match. I'm sticking with my 3-1 Americans.
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna be that much worse than that. I mean, you know, I'm all like, it's gonna be off in heaven, but I'm thinking like 4-1.
All right.
So pretty much the same as you.
Okay, Marcus.
The pessimist cynic you are, Kristen.
I learned from you, Duncan. I'm going to be sunshine and rainbows and say 2-1 United States.
Wow.
I think they'll hold out long enough that the time will only afford the Americans one extra goal past the breach. So.
Okay, fair. And then the match on Saturday, obviously the U.S. will be playing Colombia. Sorry, Colombia. Good luck. Colombia, you like to foul. Just, you know, beat up on them. Go for it. Have at. Nothing bad can happen to you because this tournament does not affect anything else.
Go. I mean, what if they qualify for the final?
There is no final in this cup. It's just an aggregate. They all play. It's nothing. They all play 3 games and then everybody goes home. This is a stupid tournament. This is not even a tournament. I hate it. Anyway, so then Canada plays Argentina, who lost 2-0 to the Americans. That's not terrible, you know. They kept it within two. I don't know enough about the Argentinian women's national team. I just assume that they're decent, based on where they're from. And I admit that may be ridiculous of me to think that. I'm just trying to think the last time Canada played Argentina, like the women World Cup at some point. Like, I don't have a clear memory or picture of this, so it's terrible podcasting. All
Yeah, I
right.
don't know. Probably at some point, but don't know.
Me either. We're great at this. I don't know. I'm gonna say that Canada figures out a way to win 2-1 over Argentina.
Sure, I'll go nil nil.
Ooh, also probable. Possible.
I'll take a 3-2 to Canada.
Ooh la la.
Yeah, I know I'm fancy as fuck right now.
Look at that. You're just wilding there. Let's see, when's the last time they played Argentina? They lost 1-0. Ah, oh, that was a year ago. It's totally different now. DB Pridham is here. It's fine. That's right. They played, what is that? Was that in Vancouver? Somewhere in BC. Anyway, yeah, we'll see what I still think Canada can win that match, so. But the Americans will probably end up winning their own. It's not even a tournament. They'll win the She Believes Cup, and all will be right in the footballing world in some weird way, shape, or form. Okay. Well, then. Now we have TFC playing WKRPFC. Sorry, Mike. I realized that maybe we should have had him on, but he was just here. It's okay. He still loves us, right? You still love us, don't you, Mike? We still love you.
He just said yes. I heard.
The kid's based on bacon. That's all we need to know.
Exactly. I feel very knowledgeable now. I originally thought that Cincy might hold players back because they have a C cubed match, but then I was like, nope, they don't play until Thursday. This match is on Sunday. They got time. They'll be fine. They're not worried. So it'll probably be a full complement of Cincinnati players with Nick Hagelin leading the line. That is the part I love looking at their stats right now and being like, goal scorers, Denke, Nick Haglund. That's it. It's great. Yeah, it's, again, it's TFC on the road, playing a team like many other teams that are better than they are. With an unknown quantity for a starting lineup, who knows? I'm assuming Josh Sargent will play. I can't confirm it, but I'm just assuming that will happen. So yeah, Cincinnati's in. They've won a game, and they lost a game, so whatever. But it's the Eastern Conference, which. If you care about stuff like this at all, and you occasionally look at the standings in MLS, I spent a fair amount of time just scrolling back and forth yesterday, being like, "Well, 2 weeks out, Western Conference, just having a laugh right now because there's a bunch of teams in the Eastern Conference that have not registered a single point yet. Everybody in the Western Conference at least has a point, so there." This is probably the last year we get to just say conferences too, isn't it? They're gonna break it all up into divisions and shit, aren't they? It's gonna get ugly.
Well, you'd hope so. It's
The
going to be
North
preposterous. There's like 20
20,
teams in each conference.
I know.
What are we at right now?
15 in each. Yeah,
15.
Aren't they doing that? Aren't they doing the thing that they're doing in Japan where they're going to do like a half season tournament thingy to reposition the whole league to being a winter
Yeah,
league or something?
that's the sprint start to next year, I think, right?
Yeah.
We'll bring back the Norris division.
Yep. I'm all for that. That would be Minnesota, Toronto, Detroit, Chicago, and St. Louis.
I mean,
Hockey cards, bro. I had them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's actually that was actually impressive, I gotta say. Anyway, so yeah, Cincinnati are, not off to a rousing start or anything, but they won their season opener and then they lost last weekend. TFC looked a little bit of, like they had some hope in their season opener and they looked hopeless last weekend. So who knows what's going to happen on Sunday? Also, it's a Sunday night match. It's a bit strange, but it's at 7 o'clock. That seems civilized. I feel like Nick Haglund is the obvious player to watch because Nick Haglund. But is there any? I think he's the only former Red there right now. Yeah, I don't see anybody. Nobody else. Oh, this person hasn't played any minutes. Oh, it's Kyle Smith. I was hoping it was Kevin Smith. Never mind. But who's Jabari? I always like his last name. I don't know why. I just do.
I'm liking this name, Ender Echenique. That's
I know, right? Like, so that was a fun.
that's just fun.
Isn't that fun?
So fun. So I'm going, and also he's played most of both games, so I'm gonna
Yes,
go
I was
with
just gonna say
Ender Echenique.
he's yep.
But also Nick Haglund.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's only played 5 minutes. I was gonna say, who's this Mbama Dem person? Kenji. Ooh, from France. Ooh la la. But he's only played 5 minutes. Oh, he was playing for the baby FCCs. And then they brought him up to the first team. Congratulations, Kenji. Good job. Good job. But you will probably not feature very much.
Yeah, I mean, there's not great names here, is there?
Who's Giddy?
Yeah, I was going to say this guy's back in McGiddy, but Samuel Giddy.
Sammy Giddy.
He's
Sammy
Ghanaian.
Giddy. Sammy Giddy. Midfielder. Oh, he's a baby too. Only 21.
What a child.
He was playing in Slovakia?
Yeah, what team was he playing for, Kristen?
Zelina.
Ooh,
Nice
sure.
try.
I don't know what you mean.
Completely. Yeah, I'm picturing your completely innocent face right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Kristen Butcher's club names.
It doesn't need a theme song.
Well, it's recorded now.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You need to do an auto-tune version then before I will accept it.
Yeah, welcome to this
Oh,
week's episode
no.
of Kristen
Kristen
Butcher's
Butcher's club
team
name.
names, club names, club names.
Oh, club names. We need a club name.
no. That's like terrifying, but scarily likely.
Fine.
And it's annoying too because I'm good with languages, but the pressure breaks my brain. Like also Duncan's presence. It's worse when you're here.
So,
No. What was it? What was the time he wasn't here and I was just they were rolling off when James was here. It was fine.
yeah, no, she was killing it. But Duncan plus anything with four syllables and three
Yeah,
knots
forget
is just
it.
fucking
I'm
Duncan.
done. I'm just done. Name,
Yeah,
club names,
all of a
last
sudden,
names.
yeah, all of a sudden Hibernian. Oh my God,
Oh,
no.
God. Why do you have to bring
Hibernian? Yeah, I love
that
Hibernian
up?
I broke Duncan. I'm sorry.
Why do you still remember
Yeah,
that?
it's
That's so
just
mean.
the first one that came to mind is an
It's,
obvious.
it
Like,
was probably one of the first ones, too. Oh God. Oh, it's so long ago. It's so embarrassing. Oh no. All right. Da Silva Ferreira. I'm assuming you're probably Portuguese. Oh no, Brazilian.
Evander. Yeah,
Evander.
it's a lot less exciting. That's a lot less exotic when you
It
open up
really
the
is.
page.
It just goes
Evander.
by Evander. That's it. Man, I was enjoying all the names. I'm forgetting Ferreira is usually Brazilian, isn't it? Yeah.
It's only Portuguese or Brazilian, could have been either one, but definitely Portuguese language.
Yes. No Bodo, where are you from? Probably like Michigan or something. Nope, you are from Nigeria. All right, cool. Obina. Yeah. Well, Bono. Yeah. All right, cool. So any of you are loan or oh, contract extension. All right. Oh, he's been playing with Cincinnati for a while. Good for him. Oh, he's willowy though. Wow.
Ooh.
143. My dude, eat something. Good Lord. You're so anyway, just worried about his health. Anyway, that's enough of randomly wandering through WKRP's squad, because we're all just watching Nick Hagland for the most part. All right. Score predictions for this gentleman. Well, TFC score this week is actually, I do have a question before the predictions. Do you think TFC will actually score a goal this week? Will Josh Sargent come in? Okay, some sort of, I don't know, insert military euphemism here. Guns blazing? I don't know. Shots fired.
No. Okay. Here's what I okay, if he's if Sargent does play, he gets one shot, not on target. George Michael bags a brace. They still lose 3-2.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go
And
three
they were
one.
losing the entire game.
Yeah. I agree with most of what you're saying there, but 3-1 rather than 2. But yeah, it's George Michael. That Sergeant won't score. No. Kristen.
I know. I'm just trying to just to talk down the optimistic side of my brain that is like, but what if? And I'm like, no, Kristen. The time I'm allowing it a little bit of freedom. Only a 2-1 win from Cincinnati.
Oh, if Sargent doesn't play, they lose 3-0. By the way. Because we don't have any depth because we're too shallowy.
Oh no.
Look, we've been kind of dancing around this since we discovered how it was pronounced, so.
It is a very fun pronunciation. It's true.
For sure.
All right. Well, yes, I think we're all correct in predicting a third loss to kick off the season before their 9-game homestand begins. Because that's how their schedule is working. And every game's at 1 o'clock, kids. Every game. So yes, yeah, so next week we will. Oh, that's right. The return of Michael Bradley. Okay. Well, that is our show for this week. Full of optimism and light and joy as usual, as we often are. Please join us next week when we look back and see who triumphed in the very important She Believes Cup. Find out how badly Toronto lost to Cincinnati. See if Toronto signs another defender a day before they're due to play their next match, which means they won't be joining the club for that match. And see if, I don't know. Oh no, NSL kids aren't for a couple more weeks. We'll see if anything else happens to Campiel. But also, we will look ahead to TFC's home opener against Red Bull New York, as I'm trying to Red Bull New Jersey, the energy drinks featuring a bunch of teenagers apparently, and Michael Bradley back in town. He and Josie can like hang out. Oh, that'll be a question for Josie. Josie, who do you hang out with? Do you hang out with your buddy Michael Bradley, or do you hang out with Seba? Oh. Tough questions. But yes, that should we'll see. We'll talk about that a lot more next week. But yeah, that is all for now. I have been joined by these two delightful gentlemen to be found occasionally out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Duncan D. Fletcher, what now?
Duncan D. Fletcher.
Yeah,
I said it right.
I think we may need to go back on the tape on that one because it sounds as if you didn't quite get that the first time. But anyway, that's fine. It's not like I'm on Twitter anyway, so yeah. Anyway, hello.
On the tweet machine at Kit Nerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast. Whether you're listening, you're a legend. If you got this far, you're totally a legend.
Seriously.
And anybody who throws a tip into the tip jar, we got a Patreon. You can find it on our webpage. And I knew there was somebody missing from the SC Cincinnati roster because Yuya Kubo retired yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I liked him. So yeah,
wow.
he announced his retirement yesterday.
Good for 32. Him.
Yeah, he still had
some years left. Yeah,
some years, but you know, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
He knows better about how he feels than I do. So, congratulations! Thank you for coming to MLS and making it a little more interesting. And yeah, back to you, Kristen.
Thanks, Mark. As for me, you can indeed find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it. My laptop's about to die. 1 second. Charging cable. There we go. Phew.
Oof, detention.
I know. Hey,
we were almost out of here, Mark. We were almost out of here.
Almost. I was totally gonna land the plane and post it.
Yeah, as were you, dear listener. You were almost out of here as well. Alas, no.
I had the charging cable so close.